The following message is an Antioch Bible Church presentation.
Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God. Thank you for the opportunity to open your word. Move me out of the way. Move your servant out of the way. You have the freedom to say and do whatever to whomever. Those who need conviction, I pray you convict them. Those of us who need comfort, I pray you would comfort us. There's nothing in the world, God, greater than you and your word and what you've said. May we never be the same today because we will hear from you. In your son's most holy, precious, glorious name, we all say.
Praise
God. John chapter 6. I want to read some couple of verses and then I want to talk to you about something, ask you a couple of questions. I think that we'll all be able to understand these verses a little bit better. We can make it personal. Make it right in front of us. Make it at home. Something that we can decide whether we're going to do or not. To make it to the point that it's in front of you so strongly that you're either going to say yes and do it God's way, or you're going to say no, I still want to do it my way. That's a great decision to be made on Easter Sunday. Verse 1, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he had did on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, where shall we buy enough bread that all these can eat? And this he said to test him, and for he already knew what he wanted to do. Philip answered and said, well, you know, there's 200 denarii worth of bread is not enough to be sufficient for a crowd this size. And I tell you, they wouldn't even get a little if we spent that much money. One of his disciples, being Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, hey, there's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what is that for so many? Sometimes we can add one thing too many, one thing too much. If we say we trust God, stop there. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Can we just stop there instead of what? Running to that next statement. Andrew, man, I mean, bro, Andrew, Jesus, man. Oh, I know someone with two fish and 5 barley loaves right there. But Philip says, there ain't no way. Forget it. Well, I guess I better make it come home. Is that okay?
Come on.
When I did that, I felt like that captain of that pirate ship on the Caribbean. What's his name?
Jack
Sparrow. How many of you in here has ever gotten hungry? I'm not talking about, no. I said hungry. Now, you can be hungry, or you can be hungry. If you're hungry, a snack will do. Can I have an amen? A sandwich will be good enough. But if you're hungry, you want a sandwich. See, a sandwich is a full meal deal. You want to eat. You want to get full when you're hungry. So how many of you have ever been hungry? Okay, now, right. We can relate to what I'm going. And if you're hungry, what do you want to do? Oh, come on, white people. Come on. Help me out a little bit here. I know it's East Side. You know, it's a church for all people. You can act black. I got to act white a lot, you know what I'm saying? Did I say that out loud? Oh, I'm sorry, ma'am. When you get hungry, what do you want to do?
Eat.
You want to eat. Yeah. And then you come home, you ever been just coming home you're dying. You want something to eat so bad, man. You walk in the house and you're getting ready to eat, and then you think about one thing. I got to fix it. I got to fix it. Now, I'm going to tell you something about having to fix the food. It'll change your attitude about being hungry. Am I lying? Especially if you got someone that can cook it for you. You know, that's one of the advantages of getting married. Y'all can laugh all you want. I mean, you know, you got a wife that can cook, Jack. And, you know, we men are the worst. Are we children, parents, comes, you know, here's this child, been home for 3 hours. Husband, been home for 3 hours. Could have made a peanut butter and jelly, or just a peanut butter, or just a piece of bread. 3 hours. We had to eat nothing because we know somebody's coming home at 5. And then we've been sitting there, and they walk in the door, out work tired, and where do we go? What's to eat? Does that make sense? When you're hungry, you want to eat. But there ain't nothing in the world like when you're hungry to have someone fix it for you. Be sitting on the couch with the TV on, remote, smelling it. Hurry up, girl. Am I the only one that ever been there? Okay, I just want to make sure. It's something about that eating, man. You know, it kind of keeps you alive. Not like someone fixing it for you. Wow. But what are you hungry for? What are you truly hungry for that'll drive you to get off the couch and fix a meal? You know, and it's not really that hard anymore. You know what I'm saying? To fix a meal. Everybody in here know what that means, right? What does that mean? Pizza. Microwave. Pizza.
Have it delivered.
Oh, have it delivered. Yeah. Microwave. Cook that roast in 3 seconds. Just, hey, I said, leftover. You guys got to follow the sermon. Man, it don't take no time. But one thing you better not do, you better not leave that meat or that bread in there too long. It gets so hard you can knock Godzilla out. But when we want to eat, we want to what? And if someone else fixes it, we are even more? Oh, even more hungry. Just sitting there waiting for it, man. Just waiting for it to cook it up. I like a good meal. Like a good meal. Man, we're talking about food. Did you guys hear about what's going on with Burger King? New menu. But have you heard the controversy over the new menu? Anybody in here? What's wrong with people? Mary J. Blige. Any of you guys on this side of the track know who that is?
Yes.
Soul sister to Extraordinary.
Yes,
woman can blow a note. Yes. Bam! They hired her to sing about their fried crispy chicken in a wrap.
What?
Yes. Hired her to sing. A black woman singing about chicken. Who else going to sing about it? Hear what I'm saying? Who else they going to hire? Man, cool me off. And they got mad. Said it was racist. So they took the commercial off the air. I wouldn't stop it. I would have had the chicken clip on going. Can I have it? Amen. As a matter of fact, I called my buddy on the radio and said, man, this is a mess. I'm going to call Burger King and say, discriminate against me for $1 million. I'll sing about chicken in a minute, Jack. For $1 million, I add the salad. How you going to be discriminated against singing about something you love to eat and get paid $1 million? Where's common sense at in the world anymore? I told him, I said, man, my wife fried chicken so good, if I put it on my head, my tongue will beat me to death trying to get up there. and she's white. She says, "Hutch, I learned it from Mom. I know you want to give her credit, baby, but still good." But when you want to eat, you want to
eat.
And when someone else cooks it for you, you really are
hungry.
But what are you hungry for? Are you hungry for the word as much as you're hungry for food? Are you hungry for the truth? You know how many of us are sitting right here in this room today is coming to church is really not interested in the truth. We're really hungry for a lie. Even if we know it's a lie, it makes me feel good about what I'm doing. I do it because I'm hungry for a lie. I just want to know today, man, on this Easter Sunday, are you hungry for the truth? For the word of God. To build your body in 21 ways. The word of God. The truth that he rose again. The truth that there's no other answer in all the world. There's no other satisfaction regardless of what you try to do. You can't be pleased as much as you can believe by being hungry for the truth. Chapter 6 again. After these things, Jesus went over to the Sea of Galilee. What things? The three miracles that he did in just in this book alone. When he turned the water to wine, when he healed the nobleman's son, when he came into the pool of Bethesda, which means the house of mercy, healed that impotent man had been sick for 38 years. People are going, they're going, whoa! The nifty Nazarene, master of miracles. Now I want to follow him. If you want, you know, you want to get a group together. You want to get a group together?
Yes.
Throw some miracles at him. And that's why we got so many fake miracle workers. Get you in there so they can take an offering. Can I have an amen from somebody? If you missed that sermon, you need to get it. We talked about it. I miracle worker with the gift of healing hadn't met one person yet in my lifetime. If you want to talk to me about that, I'll tell you what the qualifications of a faith healer is. Biblical qualification. I've seen a lot of people heal. Can't hear you. I've seen a lot of people what God has done great things with.
Amen.
Woo! And he can work through you and me just like he can a faith healer. Philip. Yes, Jesus. Hey, can you guys, you want to do something for me? Can you use your imagination? I can't hear you.
Yeah.
I want you to use imagination. I want you to be part of the crowd. I want you to forget that you know the story. Okay? You don't know what's about to happen. See, we miss out on the Bible a lot of time because we read it so many times, we forget that the people sitting there didn't know what was about to happen. What if you were one of the disciples? Did you know what was about to happen? See, I want you to go down that road with me. Jesus Christ just got there, crowd, everybody coming. We're going to find out 5,000 men was counted. Now, usually at that time, they wouldn't count women and children. So when they said 5,000 men was counted, count the women, count the children. So I think you got a crowd of 8,000 or 9,000 there. Because I don't care what meeting you got. Usually there's more women and children than men. We want to change that in Antioch. We want more men in whatever we're doing. Looking for a few good men? Change this in Antioch. On male leadership. Say, let's just forget about the 8,000. Let's forget about 7. Forget about 6. Let's just say it is 5,000. And you are just part of the group. And Jesus Christ comes up and he looks around. He looks at one of the disciples named Philip. He says, hey, how are we going to feed all these people? How are we going to feed these people, bro? I just asked you a question.
I don't even know.
He's not Philip and I'm not Jesus, but I'm just pretending. Can I have an amen on that? I don't know. How am I going to feed all these folks? Even if we got, if we had 200 days of salary. Folks, did you hear that? It would take, he said, 200 days of salary. That's one denarii at that time was one day's wage. It would take 200 days of salary just to feed everyone a little bit. And you know what happens when you feed Christians a little bit? Invite somebody over to your house and send them home hungry. Do you think you're going to be talked about? You go, brought me over there, gave me a piece of bone. 5,000. What we going to do, Philip? Even if we had the money, I mean, I don't know. As a matter of fact, I think you ought to send them home. We came up here on this mountain to have a little free time, hang out with you, Jesus. And here we go. We didn't invite all them people. They just showed up. We didn't prepare for this. Let's just send them home. They'll come back. I always do. You're doing miracles, baby. Jesus didn't like that answer. So he looked over at Andrew. Andrew said, you know, I've been checking out the group. And there's a little boy here. Got a lunch. Are you putting yourself in this position? You see, whenever there's a problem, and especially an impossible problem, you can look at it one of two ways. You can look at it humanly, or you can look at it divinely. Now, when you look at something divinely as a Christian, do you forget about the human aspects of it? Do you pretend like that the negative stuff don't exist? Do you say, well, man, that's against all laws there, but man, guess what? I'm looking at it divinely. When you look at it divinely, there's no such thing as impossible. You know what Webster calls and gives the definition of impossible is? Something that is extremely not probably going to happen. Extreme hopelessness. A no way situation. God says, don't look at it with just your human perspective. If you got Jesus in the mix, you got to look at it. How? Divinely. I'm talking to my staff. I'm talking to the leaders. I'm talking to teachers. I'm talking to anyone in here. I'm talking to dads who are supposed to lead their families. Don't look at something as impossible when you got Jesus in the mix. You know what impossible is? Nothing but a word. Can't hear you. Impossible, nothing but a word. And if you separate the M from the P on impossible, what do you have? I'm possible. Exodus chapter 3, Jesus Christ gave him that name, himself that name. I am. Ooh. Am I going to worry about Jesus? Am I going to worry when I got Jesus in the mix? Why do you worry if Jesus is in the mix? You know you worry. Divinely or humanly. Here's this little boy. Did Andrew ask, could he tell Jesus that little? He said, hey, you know, I see you at that lunch, man. Did he do that? No. What's your name? Jacob, how are you, Jacob?
Good.
Things going good? Do you have some crackers? Jacob, we have about 400 or 500 people here, and I got to feed them. Can I have your lunch? I can have your lunch? Oh, thanks, buddy. No, I'm just kidding. He's been in church too long. Can you imagine? Well, I'm going to say, you know, I see that lunch. I'm going to tell Jesus about your lunch. Yeah, I can just hear the little boy says, well, the adults supposed to be smarter than me, right? They should have planned better. I did. I bought my own lunch, Jack. Forget it. It wouldn't be like Jacob. See, give his lunch. Let me give you something by giving you lunch. You never get back less than what you give when there's divine providence involved. Oh, I can't give this month. I'm running low. You think Jesus knew you were going to say that? Did he tempt, test Philip? Jesus tested Philip. Philip was tempted and failed. See, the word tempt and test in the New Testament is the same Greek word. No difference. You know that? Well, Jesus won't tempt anybody. No, he won't, but he'll test you. Same word. What's the difference between a test and a tempt if it's the same word? If you succeed, it was a test. If you fail, you fail the temptation. Same word, same test, same thing God comes at you. Ooh, is that just sweet? Man, we ain't got much time, do we? Oh, it's the third service.
Oops.
Oops, there it is. You look at that man, you get to think, wow! That little boy gave his lunch. Now, okay, I just got the lunch from Jacob. I got 2 pieces of deep fried fish from Ivers. Okay? And I got 5 Ivers rolls. You pitching it? Now, I got to take that little lunch that I got from Ivers, and I got to pray for it, and then feed everybody in here. And you're just part of the crowd. Are you feeling it? Are you seeing it? What would you think if Jesus bent down? And we're talking about 5 barley loaves. They're small. They're not like what we got out over there. They're small. And the fish is like sardines. Little pickle fish almost. What they carry for the lunch. And that fish, man, that wouldn't even taste good on a Ritz. And everything's supposed to taste good on a Ritz. Can I have an amen? Amen. For heaven's sakes. Bam. Takes it. Multiplies it. Breaks it. After praying over it and said, pass it out. What do you think the disciples are thinking when they pick that bread up and those fish and they start breaking it for folks? I pick up my Ivers lunch and I start walking down and I get 5 or 6 guys in the discipleship group with and they start breaking bread and they're going through the whole audience here. And the more they break, the more it becomes. The more it becomes, the more and more and more to the point that we get to the end of the church and the back there, everyone has gotten everything they need and the more you bite, the bigger it gets. Miracle? Miracle? You know, all of us want a miracle, but not one of us want to be in a situation where we need it. Every one of us want a what? After they finish eating, Jesus says, I want you to go. And I want you to pick up all the leftovers. How many?
All
the leftovers. Can someone tell me how much was left over? 12 baskets. 1 basket for each disciple. Don't tell me you don't have what you promised you're going to give God. Don't tell me you don't have that. Because he can multiply it if you just trust him. You know how many people say, man, I'm going to serve. I'm going to come to the church and I'm going to serve. I'm going to give my time. And something comes up. Something always comes up. And all of a sudden you can't keep your commitment because you don't have enough time to keep it. Guess what? If you give it, God will multiply your time and everything you need to do will be done half the amount of time it'll take if you don't give him his time. You cannot give God. Cannot give him. But I just want to know what kind of faith you got. Are you hungry like Philip? Who looks at it from the human perspective and says, that is not going to work. Are you hungry like Andrew? That says, I see some, but man, it certainly isn't enough, and it just ain't going to go. It's not going to go far enough. I can't handle it. Or do you have the Jesus perspective? Just give me the chance to show you. You have enough. And if you give it to me, I'll multiply it. You cannot outgive God. On this Easter Sunday, I want you to ask the question, what am I hungry for? What drives me? You know what? If we can be this consistent on Easter for Jesus, we can be this consistent for Jesus on Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Now, Jesus promised us something when he was leaving. Anybody know what that is? What's that? He'll always be with us, but he made a promise to keep us going even greater than that. I'll be back. He promised that he's coming back. Can you believe that? You think his time is perfect when he decides to come back? He also gave us another promise. He says, God says, I never destroy the earth again with water. That's a promise from God. What sign did he give us to say he'll never come back? He'll never destroy the world again. Rainbow in the sky. On this Easter Sunday, we're going to kick off a whole national movement. Because as a Christian with the God I serve, looking at it not from the humane advantage, but from the divine advantage, we need to start taking things back. God did not give the rainbow for the gay community. He gave it to believers, Christians, to hold to his promise. And I wear my rainbow pin, and I usually have my cross hat on at the same time, wherever I go. People know what the rainbow means, but if you ask them, did you know God gave the rainbow? No, that's for gay. Show you're gay. You're sensitive to gayness. No? I was at the truck shops Thursday. It may have been Wednesday. And I had my hat on, the cross, had my pin on. Because, you know, Jesus is coming back. We're celebrating his resurrection. And whenever he comes back, I want to be doing his work. How about you? So the lady walked up to me. She looked at the cross, looked at my pen. She said, what'd that pen stand for? I know what she was asking, right? But the cross was thrown off a little bit. So at worst, I was a Christian homosexual. She had to find out by that pen. I said, ma'am, this is a national movement for Christians to take the rainbow back. Come on. Come on. They're trying to take marriage. We better take that back. Or we're going to lose. So, how are we going to start this national movement? I'm glad you asked. On this Easter Sunday, I got pins in the back. Pins in the back. And I don't want any more pins in the back when you leave. I want you to put on your pin and watch what's going to happen. You are going to be asked everywhere you go about your rainbow pin because the homosexual community has done a better job with what this means than what we as Christians know what it means. Petitions on the back, pens on the back. If you're visiting with us today, thank you. I want you to understand something about Antioch. Just because you're visiting, just because it's Easter, we're not going to be something we're not. We're a church that believes in the Word of God, holds strong the Word of God, fight for the word of God and win with the word of God. We are, tell you what the brothers go. Have you ever seen a miracle? We saw a miracle in John chapter 6, right? But have you ever seen a miracle personally? Have you ever experienced a miracle personally? Let me give you something. If you haven't, you're looking at one. Feature your eyes on a miracle. 4 years ago, doctor says, you need to get your house in order. You're through. You're dying. We want to put you in hospice. Humanly speaking, I'm dead. But guess what? I got a real bad weakness. I believe what the Bible says. And until God says he's through, I didn't believe that. I said, cancer didn't control my life before it came in. It's not going to control my life after it gets in. And doctor, I didn't even know you before I got cancer. So I know you're not going to control my life. Bone cancer all over. And look at the brother. What can I say? What can I say? They said, pastor, 4 years ago, you are done. I said, well, it may be a little brown, but I ain't done. Amen. I want to meet all your visitors. I want to say hello to you. Got a gift for you. Be right up front. Can I get an amen? Amen. Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for this Easter celebration service. May lives be changed because they've heard from you. And Lord, may Christians be encouraged because we need to look at things from a divine perspective. Even though the numbers don't match, even though the opportunities don't line up, even though everyone is against it, if you're in it, Lord, impossible is just a word. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a presentation of Antioch Bible Church. For more information about Antioch Bible Church or to order additional resources, please call 425-556-5905 or go to www.abchurch.org.